It's Central America. It's, you know, it's a third world country. It's very humbling. I spent the other 8 weeks I was there working with a missionary and her homeless ministry, and it was absolutely incredible. It was one of those experiences that I wish everybody could have, and I know some of us don't have that opportunity, but I hope so. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Dear God, I thank you for just this time that we have to come together and this opportunity, really, that it is. I ask that you use me as a tool this morning and that you speak through me and that your words be mine. And God, if I start coming out too much, God, let my words just drop and let the people hear your words, God. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking about a lot, you know, being in college and going to like a Church of Christ school, and you got Bible classes and stuff. They always encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount, right? And it's, you know, you start reading it, and I come to a passage where we learn about prayer, but that's not really what sticks out in my mind. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 6 verses 9 through 13, just real quick. It's the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is talking and he says, you know, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But don't let us yield to temptation and rescue us from the evil one. Now, verse 10 is what has been just in my mind the past, you know, couple months. And it says, may your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've been thinking about a lot about this term called kingdom living. For those of you that may be unfamiliar with that, it's kind of this idea where we bring heaven to earth, where we have this idea we're bringing God and we're bringing Jesus and we're bringing aspects of heaven to earth. We're living in his kingdom here and now. We're living in a community. We're living in this just almost perfect place, which isn't perfect, but we've got the perfect aspects here. But before I can really start asking, you know, how do we live in a kingdom way? You know, how do we go about doing this? There are other questions that I've been asking myself a lot, and one of those is, what is our view of God? You know, I think a lot of times our view is misconstrued to where it's not what it should be. It's not one of these, there they are. It's not one of these things where we just sit and we contemplate God and we sit and stand in awe of him. But it's more of one of those things where when we look at God and we look at the Bible, we see this list, we see this set of rules, we see these objectives. And I think it's really easy to get into a mode where we're checking things off, and, you know, I'm far, far guilty of that every day. I mean, even days when I know, you know, you're going to do service or something, you have this list that you have to check off so that you've had a good day. And I think a lot of times that's how we see Christianity. And that's how we see this relationship with God. We're guilt-driven by the fact that there's this list. There's something that we have to be doing. There's a guy by the name of Peter Rollins that has some books out. He's this Irish philosopher, just great mind, and he's got a book of parables, and I want to read one of those to you right now. It's called The Last Trial. It says, you sit in silence contemplating what has just taken place. Only moments ago you were alive and well, relaxing at home with friends, and then there was a deep, crushing pain in your chest that brought you crashing to the floor. The pain is now gone, but you're no longer in your home. Instead, you find yourself standing on the other side of death, waiting to stand before judgment, before the judgment seat, and discover where you'll spend eternity. Now, as you reflect upon your life, your name is called. You're led down a long corridor into a majestic sanctuary with a throne located in its center. I mean, think about this. This is where you're wanting to go. This is where you're supposed to be. You've checked your list off. This is where you are. Sitting on this throne is just this huge, breathtaking being who looks up at you and begins to speak. He says, "My name is Lucifer, and I am the angel of light. Now you're immediately filled with fear and trembling as you realize that you are face to face with the enemy of all that is true and good." The angel continues, "You see, I have cast down God from his throne, and I banished Christ to the realm of eternal death. It is I who holds the key to this kingdom. It is I who am the gatekeeper of paradise, and it is for me alone to decide who shall enter eternal joy and who shall be forsaken." After these words, he kind of sits up, and he says, "In my right hand, I hold eternal life, and in my left, eternal death." And I can see him kind of getting closer and closer to you as you're faced with this decision. And he says, "Those who bow down and acknowledge me as their God shall pass through the gates of paradise and experience an eternity of bliss. But all those who refuse will be vanquished to the second death with their Christ." After a long pause, he bends towards you. He says, "Which will you choose?" It's a hard question. If this were to be real, the author wrote this so that we're presented with a situation that, that's never going to happen, thank the Lord. But he's presented this because if we've got these set of objectives that we're living day in and day out, and we think that is our relationship with God, and our end goal is heaven and a paradise and an eternal paradise, then what do we do when we're sitting face to face with the devil? And he says, "You've done everything that you're called to do." He goes, "But now I ask you a question. You can go and have eternal death with Christ, or you can go to paradise." And so I think a lot of times for us, if we were put in that situation, what would you do? If you've lived your life, this whole life of yours, trying to fulfill objectives, wouldn't you want to say, "I have earned my eternal reward of paradise"? It's scary. It's something that, that'll kind of work on you a lot. And I think the beauty of this is that it shows us that our eternal paradise is not the streets of gold. It's this relationship with God where we get to be in his presence day in, day out, moment by moment. We don't hunger, we don't thirst. He is there. And that is all we care about. And so, as I've been thinking about that, I've thought, that's what we need to be living for. We don't have these set of objectives to fulfill to get to eternal paradise. We have these rules, and we have this word so that we can have this relationship with God, so that we can be filled and we can chase him as he chases us daily. Another question that comes to my mind is, we talk about this relationship with God, and some of us have been brought up to where we question, what kind of relationship really is it that we need or that we should have? And I think, again, Jesus describes in the New Testament this wedding. There's really no other way to explain it than a husband and a wife, a bride and his groom. And God's sitting there chasing us, saying, this is how I love you. I'm going to love you no matter what you do or what you say, no matter what you look like in 30 years, no matter what you do. He goes, that's how I'm going to love you. He goes, there is no end to my love. There are no bounds. And so I think when we realize this and we understand that our love with God should be that of an active, pursuing relationship, much like relationships of love here. If you think about it, you can't have a successful relationship while you sit on your end and you're like, I love you, I really do, but I've got better things to do right now. It doesn't cut it at all. For guys, you gotta be watching all the time to make sure that your wife or your whatever significant other is happy, and you have to pursue it, and you have to spend time with her, and you have to listen to her. And isn't that the same way with God? You know? So I see this kingdom life coming to play when we're giving this active pursuing relationship with God. It's a back and forth. It's a constant. He's going to be there whether we mess up or not, even when we turn our backs. He's just waiting for us to turn around. And I think what's so cool is this kingdom living that I've been thinking about, it's only possible when we realize that once we understand that, you know, our goal is to pursue this relationship with God, and our goal is to have a relationship to where we are loving Him and He is loving us right back like He always has. I think that's when we can start living in this kingdom life. We can start living in community with each other where God is so present that everyone will want to join. And that's when our service to others, they can see, you know, we're not doing this for you. Really, we're not doing this for me. We're not doing this so you can say, good job, thank you for that. We're doing this because God loves us and He loves you. And that's what we're about. And I think as a church and as a family, it is so critical that we have to realize this. And some of you may be doing a fantastic job of it, but I know day in and day out, there are times when I'm so guilty of losing this thought. But how beautiful this thought is of this God that is going to pursue us. And all He really wants at the end of the day, at the end of our life, is us to be with Him in heaven. You know, I feel like a lot of times I bring a lot more questions when I talk to people than I do any type of answer. And I hope you guys can think about this. I'm not trying to say particular things, but I want you to contemplate these ideas of living in a kingdom life and having a relationship with God and what kind of relationship that should be and how we pursue Him and how often we pursue Him. If you don't know Him and you want to, or if you're just wanting to live in that kingdom life and you're wanting to pursue God and you need help, please come as we stand and sing this song.
Jesus.